You're listening to Stoke FM, broadcasting at 92.5 FM and online at stokefm.com. I'm Megan, and here's a story about someone on a long canoe trip. It's just after 6 a.m. on Saturday, August 12th, and we're down at the Columbia River at the boat launch in Revelstoke, and Hannah's packing up her yellow canoe to canoe all the way to the Pacific. Hannah, what did you have for breakfast?
I had a smoothie and two large cups of coffee. And yeah, feeling good. Feeling also like I might barf. I'm a little bit nervous, but okay. It's good to be nervous too.
It's kind of the perfect weather to start. It's overcast, but it looks like it might clear. It's not too windy. There's kind of some mist moving off the water. Early mornings at the boat launch. Someone's swimming here. Someone's fishing. There's a bunch of dogs. And then one person getting in a canoe.
Okay. Well, I think it's happening.
I think it's happening.
You. Okay.
You're going to crush it.
Thanks. Here we go.
Yeah, you got this, girl.
You want to push off?
Sure. Nice. I'll just hop in here and paddle upstream a little
bit. 8 days later, Hannah Griffin is floating in her yellow canoe on Lake Roosevelt in Washington State. Hannah is my pal who lives in Revelstoke. She started her journey where the Columbia starts, at Columbia Lake near Canal Flats, on August 1st with her partner Steve. They paddled the first 478 kilometers of the river together.
The next leg that I'll do will be from Lake Revelstoke to the U.S. border. So I think that'll take about 8 days, and so that'll be the Arrow Lakes. And then after that, once we get across the border, Steve will drop me off on the other side, and then it'll be Lake Roosevelt, which will probably take like maybe 5 or 6 days to paddle through. And then there'll be like, yeah, a series of other reservoirs, because there's 14 dams in total on the river, so lots of big bodies of water. Yeah, so we did portage the Mica Dam and the Revelstoke Dam. So the Mica Dam, we got there pretty early in the morning, like maybe at 7:30 maybe, and then we had to do two trips. So we had a barrel and like a big dry bag, so we did the like first trip over the dam. We think it was like maybe about 3 kilometers to where we could put in, and it was down like a huge hill but on a paved road. And then we walked back up to get our canoe, and then started walking with the canoe, and then this like lovely guy from the BC Wildfire Service, like we could hear him slowing down his truck beside us. And then he was like, I wonder if that canoe will fit on my truck. And Steve was like, I wonder that too. And then it was really nice. And he, yeah, just strapped our canoe on. And then we sat in the bed and held the canoe down. He dropped us off, and he probably saved us, yeah, maybe an hour and a lot of exhaustion. So that was really nice. And then at the Revelstoke Dam, which I think the portage would have been maybe 3.5 kilometers. We were like walking, same thing with our barrel and our pack. And this guy named Ferdinand was biking towards us on his electric cargo bike, and was really awesome, and decided to help us with the portage and took our gear for us, and then went back and got his like canoe cart, and he had a hitch on the back of his bike, and then he just like took our canoe all the way to the end. We like couldn't believe it. It was so nice.
What made you want to do this crazy thing?
Well I had kind of been talking with Steve about doing some of the Columbia review, like this summer do the section we just did, and then do like other sections over the years. I was working at a remotely for a tech startup, and I got laid off at the end of May. And yeah, like kind of as soon as I got laid off, I was like, I think I'm going to do this trip. And I like have been working, I think, in a kind of role for the last couple of years that I like haven't really felt was a good fit. And like feel like my confidence has maybe been a little bit low because of that. And I just wanted to like take on something really hard by myself. Although the first part was with Steve. And yeah, to just like have this like big thing to focus on. And like, I might not finish it, but I think just trying it is like something that I really wanted to do.
How long do you think it'll be before you're in Astoria?
I would estimate like between the start of October and the middle of October. It like could be longer than that, but I definitely like hope it doesn't get too far into the fall.
Tell me about, I know we've talked about this before, but just about your food and your gear. Like what kind of stuff are you bringing with you?
So in terms of food, I like started as soon as pretty much I got laid off, I just started dehydrating lots of food. So I have like lots of like dehydrated pasta meals and like chili and like beans and rice and like a deconstructed lasagna meal. And then I'll have like oatmeal with peanut butter powder and dried fruit and things like that for breakfast. And then lunch will be like peanut butter and jam and wraps and things like that. And then like lots of chocolate and treats and things. And then for gear, I have like a big food barrel and also put a bunch of kitchen stuff in there. And then I have like my tent and sleeping things and then like a canoe repair kit and a tarp and my first aid kit. And yeah, I think those are kind of the big things. Yeah, lots of fuel. I have like a little mini solar panel for like charging my inReach and my phone. And yeah, like a Kindle and then a couple physical books. And
one thing I love about going to America is the snacks, especially like gas station snacks. But I don't know if you can take advantage of that from the river. So how are you going to like make sure that you stay supplied?
So there actually are like quite a few small towns that we'll go through, or that I'll go through where I could stop and get out and go to like a grocery store. Yeah. A gas station or general store. So I'll make sure to do that for like, I am bringing quite a bit of food with me. And then, yeah, I think any opportunity that I have to go and like refuel a bit. And then, I drove a box of like dried food that I dehydrated down to this town in Washington called Richland. And this guy who lives on the river is just like keeping it at his house. And then when I get close to there, I'll give him a shout and then he'll bring it to me. And there's a section of river after the Grand Coulee Dam that has like a large Hispanic population. And yeah, someone I spoke to who'd paddled that stretch said that there's like a lot of great Mexican restaurants in that region. And she said at that point she was getting really sick of her food. So that was a really nice thing to take advantage of. So yeah, I'm hoping to get some tacos.
You're just going to be dreaming about tacos until you get there and like fresh chips and salsa. It's going to be so good. I'm curious because it's such a solitary endeavor, but then I just feel like you've already had some cool encounters. So just like that juxtaposition between solitude, but also just like being open to really hopefully wonderful encounters with strangers. Like, what are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling good about that. I feel like I really like time by myself and am like pretty happy for like days at a time by myself. But I also think it's like such a fun part of like any kind of travel, including this kind of travel, to just like meet people who you'd never otherwise come across. And I find like people in the outdoors who you meet in these kinds of environments, like on rivers and lakes and at campsites, like in my experience tend to be pretty awesome and friendly. And
I'm just thinking about as you get closer to Astoria where the Columbia enters the Pacific. I've actually been there before and there's a super cool bridge over the Columbia, but it's a very long bridge because the river's so wide there. And I don't know, like I'm feel scared for you. Like I think there'll be barges and tides and stuff. What are you scared of that you haven't encountered yet?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's definitely the section I'm the most nervous about. And, you know, done a little bit of sea kayaking on the ocean, but I don't have a lot of experience with tides. Understanding like the shipping channels and like what all the different markers mean. I have a hunch that it's going to take me a lot longer than the other sections, even though kilometer wise, it's not that big. The river like starts being affected by the tides after the Bonneville Dam. So yeah, I think that's what I'm probably the most nervous about. And then I'm also nervous about rattlesnakes.
Yeah. What do you mean?
So there's like this one section in Washington where it's like pretty common to see rattlesnakes. And I like spoke to someone who lives in the community where I'm doing, or where I did the food drop. And they said, like, at this dam specifically, like, watch out for rattlesnakes. And yeah, not crazy about snakes. So I think I'm going to.
And I, like, we're in your house. You're leaving tomorrow at 6 a.m. for the rest of your journey. You have 3/4 of the river to paddle. I see a little to-do list and not everything is crossed off.
That's right.
What do you have left to do?
Here, let's look at it. So pack my clothes, finish packing my gear, getting close on that one, to drill some holes in the front of my canoe to put rope through, to tighten my spray deck down, to download audiobooks and podcasts, to return my library books, and I want to journal today because I didn't journal the last couple of days of the trip because they're really long days, take out some cash, and take my fresh food out of the fridge.
Hannah paddled for 8 days after saying goodbye to Steve in Revelstoke. Next big stop, Trail.
Maybe stay in a motel for a night in Trail, and then the next morning he'll drive me over the border, and then I think he'll stick around maybe for that day because there's like a section of the river right over the border called Little Dalles, and it's like a constriction in the river where there's these like huge, like pillowy whirlpools that I'm like a little bit nervous about. Like the guidebook author got flipped there and had like a really long swim. And yeah, then after that, I'll be on my own.
You can read more about this and other stories on our website. Go to stokefm.com and click the news section. While you're there, you can sign up for our newsletter. Since we can't share our stories on social media anymore, it's a way to stay up to date. Reporting for Stoke FM in Revelstoke, I'm Megan Dooling.